Cam Coleman goes off as Auburn takes down Louisiana Monroe 48-14.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Finally, get a chance to talk about a win again. Man, they've been few and far between, but Auburn takes down Louisiana Monroe 48-14. Look really good on both sides of the ball. Cam Coleman has his sort of coming out party and shows why he was the player that he was rated out of high school. Made some unbelievable catches. We're going to go into that. Got to keep showing Keandre Lambert-Smith respect, man. Just unbelievable play. This defense continues to be championship caliber, and Peyton has a solid game. After missing a week of practice, Peyton has a really good game as well. But before we jump into that, we got to give a shout-out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double-up deposit bonus. That spread was somewhere around 20. I think it closed around 23.5 points, and Auburn definitely blew the top off of that one. And even with a late score that typically that's one of those backdoor covers that you got to worry about. But Auburn had the lead in hand enough to cover that spread. So if you use your deposit, you could have thrown all that bonus money on it for free with no risk and made some change. So definitely need to check them out. They got all kind of ways that you can bet, have some fun. So check mybookie.ag. Got to start off. Look, Auburn obviously wins 48-14, cover the spread, get to 4-6, handled business. That's kind of what you do in these games. You just try to handle business. Put up a bunch of points in the first half. The first drive coming out of the third quarter was one that you're frustrated because you felt like if you could have gone ahead and got that score there, you could have got some, you know, players a little bit more playing time. But hey, that's kind of part of it. You scored a bunch of times in a row. You had one little stall drive where Hugh said, I think they were trying some different things in the run game, that's what you do in these type of games. You try to find some stuff that could work that you can make it carry on into the next games. But other than that, it was a pretty solid game on both sides of the ball, and was something that Auburn really needed. At this point in time, really needed that for the fans who showed up, and even with the record that it was, 11:45 game, I think it was still packed and it was still a really good atmosphere. So all that stuff's great. I want to go straight to Cam Coleman though. Boy, what a game! And the crazy thing is, I mean, obviously you have the one-handed catch that we'll get to, but none of it was super like asking him to do anything incredible. You know what I mean? Like nothing was like, we need you to go up and win 50-50 ball. A lot of it, like, for example, the very first catch or the very first touchdown was just a simple dig route that he just made a man miss and then scored. And I don't know if it's been – I really don't understand. I'm not sure why that hasn't been able to be done. I understand the level of opponent matters. I understand there's been times during the year where Cam's been dinged up, but it's just good to see him get involved more, because obviously in today's game, in today's age, you have to worry about other suitors calling. He could obviously probably command a pretty big price tag in the portal if he were to go. So regardless, it was really good to see him do his thing. And I think hopefully if things keep going the way they're going, and if from the recruiting standpoint and building this roster, maybe you can look back to this game as maybe the turning point or the launching pad of Cam Coleman's career. Confidence, he was way more confident yesterday as well. There's been times where, you know, especially running those routes across the middle, certain things where it's just, it just didn't look like the same Cam Coleman from high school. Yesterday, it looked like this the Cam Coleman from Phoenix City, the one that just, I'm going to catch whatever you throw at my way on top of you, and then I'm going to let you know about it. And it was just really fun to watch. Eight catches, 100 yards, three touchdowns. I think it was the first time, I think they said the first time a receiver's had three touchdowns. You got to go all the way back to, I think, Darius Slayton versus Purdue, maybe, is what they said on the radio, which is incredible to think about. That's, it's a lot of seasons without having three touchdowns in a game. But that's big, man. And I think I try to think hard about this. I've seen a lot of football at Auburn, watched a lot of football. I think that's the best catch I've ever seen. I really, really do. I think that's the best catch I've ever seen. I've seen a ton of diving catches. I've seen a ton of tiptoe on the sidelines. I've seen some one-handed catches. I don't think I've ever seen one quite like that, to where it's sort of – it was his right hand, which is good because he's right-handed, but it's sort of back behind you with one hand and you're diving and you still get down in play and it's a touchdown. Like, when you combine all those things, I really do. I think it's the best catch I've ever seen at Auburn. And again, I think Philip Lutzenkirchen had a really good catch one time that he scored in a touchdown where it was ball was really far behind him and he reached behind him and caught it with one hand and pulled it in, and he never even tucked it with the other hand. He just kind of caught it behind him, pulled it around, and scored a touchdown. I can't remember what year that was, but from a level of difficulty, that was, you know, that's up there. But I really can't think of one that's even in the ballpark of what Cam did, and I think they'll be showing that for quite a while. It's just unbelievable play, and that's the kind of stuff that he can do when he's feeling it. When he's feeling Cam, when he's feeling himself, that kind of stuff can happen. He's that elite, just as elite as any of these freshman wide receivers that you see having success this season. He's good. So hopefully they can get a little bit of build, a little bit of momentum, and get the quarterback situation figured out, or the offensive situation figured out over in the offseason, because he has all the ability to be somebody that, I mean, you're talking top five draft pick. Like, he's got that type of ability. So it was really good to see that. I think everybody had fun watching that too. One guy, this is important to me. Okay. This is very important to me, what we're about to talk about. Keandre Lambert-Smith is very important to me. And he's having one of the greatest seasons of a wide receiver in Auburn history. I mean, you just look at it. He's on pace to have one of the better seasons in Auburn history. And I don't want it to be ever forgotten. I don't want it to be forgotten because of the record. If you remember, you got to go back to the last 1,000-yard receiver. I think you got to go all the way back to 1999. And like, a lot of people don't even know this guy. Ronnie Daniels, who went over 1,000 yards, had 9 touchdowns. A lot of people don't even know who he is, especially Auburn fans. Even Auburn fans don't know anything about him. Don't know how great that season was, because 1999, the record was 5-6. It was a losing season, and I think people just totally forget about it. And what Keandre Lambert-Smith's done coming to Auburn, and in Penn State, people trashed him, talked bad about his character. Talked bad about his work ethic. He was a cancer to the room. He was this, he was that. And he's just come to Auburn and just played his dadgum heart out. And not only that, he's helped this young wide receiver room, honestly, maybe more so even than some of the coaches, like legitimately. I don't mean that as a knock to any of the coaches, but I mean legitimately, he may be more of an impact with the wide receiver room than even some of the coaches. And I just do not want to – I don't want that to ever be forgotten. I want him to be – I want Keandre Lambert-Smith, when he's in the NFL, I want Auburn fans cheering for him. I want Auburn fans claiming him. You know what I mean? Like, even though he only played here one season, like, he has been so special to this team, so special to this rebuild, man. And the, he's giving a little bit of a proof of concept to, hey, look, if you're a transfer wide receiver and you can play a little bit, you can come in this offense, and it doesn't matter even if they're, you know, not that great, not that great. They're going to be able to get you the ball, and you're going to be able to put numbers up. I think he's only 240 yards away from going over 1,000 yards, which all things considered would be unbelievable. 8 touchdowns. I think he leads the SEC from receivers as far as receiving touchdowns. 240 yards over the next two games is going to be really, really tough. But, man, I would be trying to figure out a way to make that happen. I really would. I mean, it's he's important. He's very, very important. And I personally will never forget him. And I'm going to make sure people remember him. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure people remember him. But he's important to me. I think he's important to Auburn. And I think it's somebody that we need to really, really love on these next couple of games over these next several weeks, because he made a big jump. He made a big gamble. And came to Auburn, and this season has not panned out, but he's not giving up. He's not throwing the towel in. He goes out and he fights. I mean, the touchdown catch he had, that was 95% all on him. The throw was okay. I mean, it was a tough throw because it was a back shoulder, and he had to put it in an area between two defenders. But, I mean, that's a catch that most other receivers, they catch that ball and step out of bounds, or they catch that ball and they fall down. Or whatever. I mean, I would say the vast majority of wide receivers, if they make that play at all, they step out of bounds, or they just fall down, or, you know, whatever. Not thinking of what do I do with myself after I catch this ball so I can score a touchdown. It's unreal. Unreal. His balance, his hands, his route running. I mean, everything about him. I'm just so proud he came to Auburn, and I don't want us to ever forget this guy. Okay, even with the season the way it's going, he's an Auburn legend in my mind. Like he's up there as far as some of the he could be in the talk with some of the best wide receivers at Auburn, in my opinion. When you go from just a single season standpoint, unreal. And I want everybody to remember him because he's special. Before we go to the we're going to talk about Peyton, going to talk about the defense. Before we do that, I want to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Go to retirementresults.com/plan, get your free custom portfolio analysis. There's even though if it doesn't matter if you have something in place, 401k, IRA, savings account, whatever, doesn't matter. Ford Stokes is the guy to go over it with you, make sure that you're not paying crazy fees. I know a lot of people love them Acorn accounts and Robin Hoods and all that stuff. You pay crazy fees. Let Ford actually show you how much money you're throwing away in fees. It's crazy. It's crazy to actually dive in and look at it, and he can help you do that. So tell him War Eagle, tell him we sent you. Make a friend at the same time, Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Peyton had Peyton also had a really solid game. I think he was 22 of 32, 286, 5 touchdowns. Didn't do anything just, remarkable. Wasn't really asked to do anything remarkable. He made an unbelievable throw to Cam on his second touchdown, I believe. It was like a fade / corner, you know, in the red zone, which I love. There was a lot of those in this game that obviously I really love. Cam caught two of his touchdowns were those basically. Those 50-50 type balls. But yeah, it just wasn't really asked to do anything special. Just facilitated the ball, got it out where it needed to be, made the right reads, it seemed like, and just distributed the ball like you're supposed to, and had a very, very efficient day. And doing that without having a week of preparation. One thing about Peyton, I don't think anybody can ever question his toughness and desire, I guess. That's one thing. He's really, I know he's feels like it's limited at times. And I know that, you know, there's people bang on him a lot, but for the most part, and I'm guilty of that at times, but the dude's tough. The dude's tough. The dude plays hard. He does what he's asked to do. Even if you know, sometimes there's some head scratching things there, and you obviously had the turnovers at the beginning of the year, but he just goes out there, even not 100%, and does what he's asked to do, and he did it at a really high level in this game. I understand the opponent, but that's what you're supposed to do against these type of opponents. You're supposed to shred them. You're supposed to be efficient. You're supposed to get the ball to your playmakers, and he pretty much did that. But again, not asked to do anything crazy. I mean, I talked about it already. The first touchdown to Cam, it was just a regular old dig route that turned into a touchdown. Just that's all you got to do. Just get the ball where it needs to be. You don't have to be a hero. The touchdown to Malcolm, that was like read three or four. You know, he went through his progressions like he's supposed to. Now, granted, he had a ton of time. The offensive line played really well. I'm not even sure that he got sacked one time. I think he obviously got pressured a few times, but I don't think he ever got sacked. He hit Malcolm on his third or fourth read. You know, check, 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 boom, Malcolm over the middle, got him. And doesn't throw over the middle a ton. Ripped one over the middle, and then Malcolm turned it into a touchdown. Again, that's just what you're supposed to do. There's going to be so much discussion about – There is a lot of discussion. I think a lot of it's just emotional about should Peyton keep playing or what should they do or should we go to the future? And I could do a whole show about this, but I think when you really think about why you continue to put Peyton out there, I think you if he's the best guy, okay, if he's the best guy, and the coaches see these guys every day at practice, if he's the number one guy, you have to play him. It doesn't matter what the record is. How can you as a coach demand four quarters of effort? How can you as a coach demand playing through the whistle? How can you as a coach demanding don't ever quit, play to the horn blows, you know, continue to fight through it, no matter what the scoreboard says, fight, fight, fight. How can you as a coach demand that? And then if the season's going the way, going in a different direction that it should, how can you as a coach say, I understand this is the best guy, but I got to quit. I got to quit. We're going to quit. We're going to put in the next best guy. We're going to plan for the future. So we're going to quit on this season. I know I asked you not to ever give up. I know I asked you to fight through the whistle. I know I asked you to play four quarters, but you know, I'm not going to hold myself to that same standard. So if Peyton's the best guy, you got to play him. It doesn't matter. Like, you have to. Otherwise, you're really setting yourself up for a lot of, I think, a lot of issues with the team, with your messaging. I think it's just you're setting yourself up for a lot of issues. Coaches want to win. Coaches are incentivized to win. Coaches don't play players that they think coaches are going to play the players that they think are the best, that give them the best chance to win. Doesn't mean that it equals wins, but they're going to play the player that they think gives them the best chance to win. And I still think as frustrating it is at times, as emotional as we get at times, Peyton gives Auburn the best chance to win. Plain and simple. And you can't give up on your team and just cash in a season and show them that you're not going to fight no matter what the record is for every win. Even if it doesn't get you into a bowl game, you're not going to try to win every single game. You're going to pack it, cash it in, and just work for the future and say, thanks for the effort, but we're giving up on this season. But y'all don't give up. Y'all aren't allowed to give up, but we're allowed to give up. I don't think people think about it that way. And I think there's some messaging there that you really send a bad message, in my opinion, when you do things like that. So Peyton played really well. There's nothing you can really say about it. If you criticize anything about Peyton yesterday, then you have an agenda or you have a narrative, and you want your narrative to win out more than you want Auburn to win out. Plain and simple. Defense. Championship level defense, guys. I mean, this is Hugh has assembled a defensive roster that is championship level from a recruiting standpoint. And he's hired a guy, DJ Durkin, who is, I hope they pay him whatever they have to pay him to get keep him here for at least 2 or 3 years, at least 3 years. I mean, the impact that he's making with these young guys and what he's been able to do with these younger guys, I think it may be unprecedented. It really may be. The production that he's putting out there, what he's been able to do, and he's doing it with, and as the years gone on, the roster's got younger. You know what I mean? Like, the starters have gotten younger, but they're getting better every game. I hate that last touchdown. It doesn't really mean anything, but I hate that last touchdown got given up just because of statistics. Just because you can't erase it from the box score. You can't erase it from your yards given up or points allowed and stuff like that. But in reality, it didn't matter. In reality, it didn't mean anything as far as the story of how that game went. Just unreal. The level that these guys are playing at, and there's so many young guys that are getting time, and like how good they're going to be moving forward. Like, I mean, legitimately, with a couple of portal pieces, Auburn could have the top defense, one of the top defenses in the country next year. I really do. I really think they already do, but could easily have one of the top defensive teams in the country from name the statistic. I really do. It's on track to be that good. I mean, you had DeMarcus Riddick had another sack, 2 tackles for loss total. Whoever decided to move him from a traditional linebacker to this outside linebacker / edge, whatever it is, whatever position he's playing right now, whoever made that decision was a genius, and made him millions of dollars, because he's an unstoppable force. His speed is something that is, you can't really, his speed is almost like fake create a player speed at that position. It's unreal. Like, he has defensive back speed with linebacker size, linebacker / edge size. It's like he's an unreal athlete. And they're putting him in a position to succeed. They're putting him in a position to make an impact. I mean, he's going to be a force. He's going to be a household name in the SEC if he keeps progressing like he's progressing. And I'm so anxious to see how he's used in the future and what they do with him in the future, because he's a fun player to watch. So all in all, yesterday, it's hard to point to anything negative other than just the bad taste in your mouth throughout the season. It really is. It's hard to point to anything negative yesterday. A lot of folks got action. A lot of folks got to play. A lot of young offensive linemen got to play. DeAndre Carter got in there, got some playing time. Tyler Johnson got some more playing time. EJ Johnson got some reps at center, from Auburn High. That's what you got to do. You got to play those games where you can get a lot of people, a lot of folks some snaps. Walker White got some snaps, had a fumble trying to do so much. He looks so big as a true freshman. I really think he's got potential. He kind of opens up a different little aspect. His first play of his college career is an inside zone run right up the gut for 6 yards at 220, 225 pounds. Like, man. The kid's got – there's something there. They just got to keep him. They got to develop him and get him better, because I think he could be a very, very fun kid to watch at Auburn. So that's all I really have for this one, man. Needed a win. Now, I mean, in theory, you still have a shot for a bowl. You got a tough road to get there. You got to knock off Texas A&M. You got to knock off Alabama. You do get Texas A&M at home at night with a little bit, maybe a little bit of momentum, maybe a little bit of, something that you can build on. Maybe you found something you can roll with and try to knock them off at home. Because if you win that one, then sort of all bets are off when you go into Tuscaloosa, and then you can just kind of play free, play to win, and see if you can, play spoiler and get into the postseason. So I know it's been an up and down. It's mostly down. year, but hey, we're going to be here still talking about it every single weekend, every single day. I really appreciate you guys listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this video, subscribe. If you like this channel, subscribe. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Subscribe to the barn, auburn.com. We're going to have some big recruiting updates today and every day, basically, throughout up until signing day. And then the portal is going to be an absolute blast. So check us out there, thebarnauburn.com. Guys, I really appreciate it. We'll catch you next time. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.